Well, it's a great joy to be able to meet with you ladies again for our face-to-face ladies' Bible study. We're in the very special week of Easter, and I trust, despite the circumstances, that you are rejoicing in what Christ has done. It is such a blessing to realize that in the midst of trouble, we know the one who is in control, and we can have rest in our souls. So what a joy that is. Well, as you know, we're looking at the book by Elizabeth Elliot, Discipline, The Glad Surrender. And we've been looking at this calling that God has given all of us to serve Him. What a privilege. And we need to answer the call. We've seen that. And the need to understand the call of God and to let God have His way in our life. And it needs to be with an attitude of just joy. And then in our last session, we looked at the matter that discipline, or being disciplined, is not about trying to do better ourselves. A lot of people are caught up in self-improvement, a lot of self-help books out there, and so you have a lot of people working hard on weight watching, jogging, speed reading, time management, and all of these things are very, very important. We ought to be strengthening our lives by seeing ourselves be in shape and have minds that are trained. All of that is good. But unfortunately, the purpose of so many is self-actualization, as we saw the last time. And that's really, as was stated by her, just a new word for old-fashioned selfishness. Trying to improve ourselves, to be thought of as better, to feel good about ourselves, to have good health, and all of these things can be good, but if it's for selfish purposes, it's dangerous. And Jesus said we're to take up His cross and follow Him. And so the matter of discipline is to be discipled. We are following Him. In other words, we say no to the flesh as we're following His calling and we're wanting His life to be seen through us. The great discipline chapter, or discipleship chapter, is the second chapter of 2 Timothy, and we've been over that before, about discipling others so they can disciple people. And the very next illustration is about a soldier that's not entangled with the things of this world. It's all about serving Him who has called us. Well, today we're going to be looking at the wonderful privilege we have of God's working in our life, and then the danger to avoid in reveling in that truth. The chapter is entitled Grace, Book, Spirit, and One Thing More. A lot of times people fall in the trap of just expecting God to solve their problem and to help them do better. Now, the problem is that there's some truth to that, but that perspective misses that one more thing. Now let's talk about what God wants and is able to do in our life. Now we all know that salvation is a gift. It is by the grace of God through the finished work of Christ. We can do nothing to earn it. And we need to learn as Christians that we are under grace. God's grace is what enables us to change, to be discipled. His power, His intervention that's freely given because of Christ in our life to help us do what we cannot naturally do. Now, that is a tremendous truth, and you know how we emphasize that. Our tendency is to do it ourselves, to try to have performance, acceptance, try to please God by our efforts. Well, we can't please God by our efforts. We didn't for salvation. We're not going to for our life. It is all by grace. And so that's a wonderful truth, that it is through His power that we grow. And we know about God's grace, and we learn what to do through the book, through the Word of God. Every part of Scripture is profitable for us, as we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And then you have the Spirit of the living God who dwells within us, God Himself, who is the one who is the Spirit of grace, who continues to empower us, utilizing the truth of God's Word so that we'll be transformed in our thinking, the renewing of our mind, and He enables us to have union with the Lord. Well, all of those are precious truths. In fact, they are truths that we emphasize over and over. But I like her emphasis here. And that is that one thing more is that we have to act on the Word of God through the Spirit of God to obtain the grace of God. We have to exercise our will by faith. I've seen many Christians talk to me in counseling sessions with great frustration that God did not make them do better, that God did not deliver them, that they were expecting that God would just somehow make them a great Christian. Well, God's grace is free. We can't do it through our own effort, and it is God's Spirit that does it, but He never goes around our will. Everything we have when it comes to spiritual reality comes because the Spirit of God works in our heart, and by faith we exercise our will. In other words, we put our dependence upon God and we trust that His Word is true and we say yes to God, and that's when God begins to work. Now think about it. Let's go back to the beginning of what we talked about. We are saved by grace. It's not our effort. But even though grace is available to every person in the world, that's what Titus chapter 2 says. Is everyone saved? And you'd say no. They are only saved if once they understand what Christ has done and that salvation is a free gift, they're only saved if they receive the gift, if they put their dependence, their faith in Christ. And so, faith is the key that unlocks the grace of God's power to be personalized in our lives. And so as we think about the grace of God to change us, to deliver us, to transform us, to renew our mind, to give us wisdom, to have victory over habits and sin, and to develop a whole new life, to have a life of a disciple, to have a disciplined life, we need to understand that that grace is accessed by faith. And faith is not a mood or feeling. It is practical obedience based upon what God says. And you think of all the different principles and commandments that the Lord Jesus gave. They are given to strengthen our lives, but they have to be accessed by faith. We have to obey. The Lord Jesus, when talking about forgiveness, how many times to forgive, He said 70 times 7, and then the disciples said, increase our faith, Lord. In other words, Lord, help us, because that's too hard for us to do. And the Lord was simply saying, no, you need to believe me. You need to do it. That's when grace kicks in. That's when the Spirit of God will help. And so we need to realize that that it is up to us to make the decision. Now, not depending on ourselves. See, that's why a lot of times we think of willpower, and then we think of our strength. This is where it can get a little bit confusing, and there's some subtleties here that we have to understand. Will needs to be exercised, but by His power. And so I can't just sit around waiting for God to zap me and to push me to do what I need to do. I have to make the decision that I want to obey God, and I believe what He says is true. And so I've got to exercise my will and take that step of obedience, but it can't be on the basis of my own power. This is where we can get a little bit trapped, and we have to have the right balance. Now go back to the three things that we started with: grace, the book, and the Spirit. Now, let's put faith into this, and I think you can understand. It's by faith that we're saved. Well, the Bible says, no, it's by grace you're saved, through faith. Okay, so faith is what saved us. Well, no, we made the decision. It was grace that saved us. And so God's grace did what the Bible said would happen if we trusted Him. So He did the saving, but we accepted His saving. Now that's where the book comes in. You see, you cannot have faith without the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Many times you've heard me say that that English word, word, W-O-R-D, is in the Greek rhema, not logos. That's the one that we usually think of, the whole book. No, it is the specific truth that we are to forgive, or we are to love our wives, or we're to be in submission to our husbands, or any other aspect. We are to give, and God will bless us. Any of these principles are rhemas. And so here's how this works. When we see a truth in the book, and it clearly applies to us, and God's saying, I want you to do that, then you say, yes, Lord, and you trust that it's true, and you take the step of faith to depend upon God to obey that, and that's when grace comes in. God gives you grace to give. God gives you grace to love. God gives you grace to forgive. That would not be you or yours. It's not just a human willpower situation, but you still had to take the step of faith. And then what is so thrilling is the fact that you have the Holy Spirit who helps us, who makes the Word of God come alive, and who's the one that imparts grace. And so as we obey God by faith, we depend upon Him totally. The Spirit of God leads us to make the decision, and then when we make the decision of faith, because we have understood the Word of God by the Spirit of God's help as He's illuminated to us, He then gives us that empowering grace to be able to accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. So the bottom line on what our author here is trying to get across is that we are to take steps of faith. Now, we do not do God any favor by what we do. It's all of God's grace. But God expects us to work, to step out, to do what He's called us to do. And then He will do the enabling and He will strengthen. So I want you to think with me here as we are progressing to the conclusion here of this thought that was given here in this chapter. Are you blaming God today potentially for some of your weaknesses? You know, I've tried to do right. Why haven't I been delivered? Isn't it God who will give me the strength to be a soul winner? Isn't it God who will help me have a control over my temper? Isn't it God that will give me the power to overcome some of these habits of indulgence that I have in my life? Well, yes, it's God that gives you the power. But my friend, you can't blame God. He's done everything needed for you to have victory in every one of those areas that I just mentioned. He is, as we think of the cross here this week, as we think of all that He did, it's just deeply stirring that God would do that for us. There is absolutely nothing that is outside of the realm of what He's already paid for. So we cannot blame God. It's not His fault that we haven't been quote-unquote zapped with power to do what we should do. It's there. It's ready. It's available. Just like we get frustrated with lost people that need to be saved, and there's the gift of salvation almost dangling right in front of them, and they refuse to take it because they depend upon themselves. We have the gift of God's grace, His wisdom, His control, his victory over indulgence and habits. It's right there. It's all been purchased. But we have to accept it by faith. Just like you were saved by faith, you grow by faith. And so that decision has to be made. So don't blame God. And I think a number of you listening, you'll see there will be some application here about how we do blame God that things didn't go the way we wanted them to go. And then there's a temptation on the other side for Satan to say, well, you need to do something about it. No, we need to realize we can't do anything about it, but we have to make the decision to really want to. Just a couple of days ago, Dr. Jim preached a great message on 2 Chronicles 7:14. And he talked about the fact that we must be willing to forsake our sin. If God's going to deliver, we need to really want deliverance. Do you really want deliverance over indulgence? Do you really want deliverance over that temper? Do you really want deliverance in soul winning? Do you really want deliverance in the right attitude towards your husband? That's really where it gets down to, because faith is, Lord, I'm in need, just like when you were saved. You said, I'm a sinner. I can't get saved without you. I trust in you alone for salvation. And when you really want deliverance, when you really want to grow, you take that first step of obedience by dependence upon Him. The powerful Spirit of God will give you wisdom. He will give you encouragement, and you'll begin to see the grace of God working. You'll have to make step after step of faith. It's going to be yielding every time He says something, and you've got to keep that desire. I want victory because God said so. I believe the Bible, and that's what I want. That's the disciplined life. That's why she entitles it The Glad Surrender, where we with a full heart want deliverance. So I trust this has been helpful for you today to see the balance between the matter of just being passive and knowing the grace of God's there and the Bible and the Spirit of God will help us, but just waiting for God to do something, or the other extreme of trying to do it all ourselves. The biblical balance is God's grace is what I need. The Word of God is the truth that I need to trust. The Spirit of God will help me, but I must take the steps of faith. I've got to yield as the Spirit of God convicts me, as He illumines me to truth. I don't need to wait around. I don't need to rebel. I don't need to try to figure out if I'm going to follow God or not. You see, a true disciple follows. Even as I follow Christ, Paul said, follow me. And if we're going to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we are going to give of ourselves to being like Him by making the decisions of faith. And I like the emphasis in this chapter. She makes it clear, let's make the right decisions. That's really what it's going to get down to. And so there are always traps that Satan tries to get us to fall into. If he can't get us to fall into the trap of self-will and self-dependence, he'll get us to be passive and just wait for God to help us. Or if he can't get us to do that, he'll get us into self-dependence and self-works. Let's depend only on God, but take the steps of faith and let's obey. Let's listen. Let's listen to His call. Let's listen to His leadership. And it's just absolutely glorious what God will do if we do that. Well, ladies, it's always a joy to be able to go over these truths. I trust that you will think these through. They build one upon the other. This author here makes us really think, but it's good. These are basic things that we need to get right. And as we are in this Easter week, would you rejoice that not only have you been delivered for salvation, but you can be delivered from everything that is burdening you. And as was said by Andrew Murray, if we don't humble ourselves, then we're going to keep running into all of these problems. Every problem we have is because we're not willing to be honest with God. And if we'll be honest with God and trust Him and follow His word and let Him lead, He will give us life, and he'll give it more abundantly. He died on the cross so you can have it. He rose again and is able to give it to you. Oh, may God bless you, and may God give you a blessed Easter season.